Sure Shame Podcast, shining a light to the nations.
Shalom once again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and this is our weekly Torah tidbit. This time is taken from the portion called Re'eh, which is translated as behold, or more literally, see. And the Torah portion begins in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. It says, behold, or Re'eh, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but you turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after the other gods which you have not known. And so the intent here in telling us Re'eh, behold or see, is to say that it will be visible. That is, people will be able to see that those who obey God's Torah are blessed with prosperity, with peace, with blessing. Likewise, it will become obvious that those who do not do this are laden with troubles. We'll be able to see that. This would further hint that what we are supposed to see is the outcome of what we do. However, this portion also alerts us to the fact that we must be careful not to be led to do things exclusively by what we see, because sometimes seeing is not believing. Things aren't always what they seem to be. And so then, that thought brings us to consider what this portion has to say about prophets, who and what a true prophet of God is. And I should point out that Moses' definition of a false prophet is made within the context of, number one, we are not to do what is right in our own eyes. In other words, don't follow every road that you see. It may not lead you to a good place. Furthermore, he warns against adding to or taking away from God's word, lest we be led astray by lying signs and wonders which are produced by these false prophets. And so then it is in that context that he warns us in Deuteronomy 13, beginning at verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass. Now notice that, comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you or proving you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. So then what we just read is, in a nutshell, exactly what the adversary has done from the very beginning to deceive mankind. If we go all the way back to Genesis 3, we see this. And it's because he's clever. He's crafty. And that Hebrew word is arum. And so because he was crafty, he was able to seduce the woman to do something based on what she saw. The text says that she saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye and desirable to make one wise. She saw. And so then when Adam ate of the fruit, it says that their eyes were opened and they could see that they were naked. And that Hebrew word is Eromim, and is derived from the same root word that is used to describe the serpent as being crafty and clever. In other words, at that point, after falling, mankind possessed the ability, and I would add the will, to emulate the characteristics and the methods of the adversary. What I'm saying is, fallen man became crafty, and he eventually developed the skill to seduce others into disobedience by getting them to see what appeared to be good, but was in fact actually deadly. So this is important because throughout its history, Israel is often found that what they thought was good actually turned out to be an abomination in God's eyes. Sometimes they were led astray by the very type of prophet that Moses warned of. those who would misappropriate their gift for personal gain or for other deceitful purposes. And I'm thinking of Balaam here as a great example of that. Now, I feel it is very important to note that when Moses told us this, he didn't actually call these people false prophets. He called them prophets, but prophets who led others astray because they themselves had been led astray. In other words, they have the gift, but they misuse it. Now, consider that notion in conjunction with what Paul says in Romans 11. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Now, when Paul wrote this, he was making this statement within the context of Israel and how many in Israel were walking in unbelief, but nevertheless retaining the gift and the calling that God had invested in them. In other words, God doesn't remove the gift or the call just because Israel's not walking in that. Because if you think about it, there always exists the possibility and the potential for repentance. And so it is likewise with individuals in Scripture. Many retained their gift and their calling even though they weren't performing God's will. Saul of Kish is an example of this because he was anointed to be king. He is someone who had a gift, and that anointing and gift was there even though he was in error. Because we see that upon being anointed king, he prophesied among the prophets. However, we also see that later in life, after pride had its grip upon him, and we see that the Holy Spirit departed from him, it was replaced by a distressing spirit. And so even though the unction came from a different source, this distressing spirit, he still prophesied. And so this is to demonstrate that, again, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I bring this out because perhaps this is in part why we see that the prophet in Deuteronomy 13 is able to give a sign or a dream that actually comes to pass. And if that is the case, this accentuates why we can't be led exclusively by what we see. What we see has to line up with what we hear, or Shema. Now, Moses warns us that the prophet uses the sign or the wonder to lead the people of God astray, to lead them away from God's commands. People who are guided solely by sight can easily be led astray because oftentimes they aren't considering where the path is taking them. Notice also that this prophet arises in the midst of you. In other words, he acts in accordance with how the adversaries always operated. You see, because the adversary is crafty, the false prophet is crafty as well. And so the main point here is that, unfortunately, God's people are often led astray by lying signs and wonders. And you and I shouldn't think that we are exempt from falling victim to this, because the Messiah warned us in Matthew 24, verse 24, false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now remember, sometimes the signs and wonders do occur, but these particular signs and wonders are intended to mislead us into disobedience. Lying signs infers that these signs are a mixture of truth and falsehood. That's an example of adding to and taking away from God's Word. And as we see again and again, this is the time-tested and very often successful tactic the adversary has used from the very beginning. He presents convincing lies that contain a measure of truth. And this tactic apparently works so well that the adversary is intent to use it right up until the very end, because as we see in 2 Thessalonians, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, the question that comes to my mind is, if we know this is how the adversary operates, how is it that God's people seem to always be susceptible to this lure? I think the answer is provided for us by Messiah when he said this in Matthew 12. An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, And the word adulteress there refers to those who have already gone after other gods. They've already left their husband. In this case, that is the Messiah, the God of Israel. They've already been seduced away from their first love. And so, consequently, they continue to stray. They go from place to place, looking for a sign, something to catch their attention. And that is not how it's supposed to be. We aren't supposed to go window shopping for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders are supposed to follow those who believe. And so in conjunction with that, we need to acknowledge that miracles, signs and wonders in and of themselves are not proof of God's will or God's voice. Just because you see a wonder doesn't mean that you should believe what those people are saying. There have been revivals in times past where there were alleged to have been many signs and wonders. However, people became so focused on the signs and wonders that they stopped listening to what was being said in these revivals, many times contradictory to the Word of God. You see, a true prophet of God will use signs and wonders to lead people to God, to lead people to His commandments. A true prophet of God is going to challenge people to listen and to hear rather than to be led by sight alone. In fact, Moses made it clear that these prophets would arise and they would perform these signs and wonders just so it would be made evident whether or not we love Him, which is to imply whether or not we would listen to His voice and follow His word. Now, finally, I believe it's important to state that as believers, we are to hear God, fear God, love and serve God, even if there are no miracles, even if there are no signs and wonders performed by Him. If we never see another sign or wonder, are we going to remain committed to hear His voice and to follow His direction? There's no doubt in my mind that signs and wonders are always going to draw a crowd. We can see that in Messiah's ministry. There were plenty of people who were following Him around to see the signs and wonders, but we also see that most of those people that were drawn by the miracles were shallow and uncommitted. And when there were no signs and wonders, they drifted off. For me, and this is my personal opinion, the greatest sign and wonder that I will ever witness is the fact that in spite of me, in spite of what I've done, the Creator reached out to me and He impressed upon me that He desired to do a wonder in my life. He wants to do a miracle for me. And so we need to be aware of those lying signs and wonders. We need to be careful not to be led strictly by what we see, but let's be guided by His voice. And in the days ahead, we're going to need to be able to discern that voice as never before. And so as I leave you, don't go by everything you see, because seeing is not always believing. We need to listen to His voice. Thanks for joining me. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.